This is KVNF's Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, the Colorado State climatologist talks about this summer's wildfires, a look at high unemployment rates in the West, plus climate activists want questions about the environment at the debates, but none are expected at the first presidential debate on Tuesday. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
On Saturday, Democratic Senate candidate John Hickenlooper paid a visit to Grand Junction in his campaign against incumbent Republican Cory Gardner. While there, Hickenlooper spoke with the Grand Junction Sentinel. He criticized the Trump administration for the state of the rural economy, saying that rural Coloradans are significantly worse off than they were in 2016. He also said Gardner and the Trump administration should have done more to expand broadband access in rural areas. Hickenlooper also talked about his ethics violations, calling the two illegal gifts he accepted while in office inadvertent mistakes. The visit came a day after he hosted a virtual conversation with Colorado breweries to discuss economic recovery efforts for small businesses. Groundbreaking new rules will require air pollution monitoring at oil and gas sites during the early stages of operations of new wells. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports that the Colorado Air Quality Control Commission has passed rules that are the first of their kind in the country. The commission unanimously approved the new rules as part of the implementation of Senate Bill 181, the 2019 measure requiring an overhaul of regulations governing oil and gas development in the state. In National Parks news, the Curacani National Recreation Area is getting a major upgrade. The Elk Creek Visitor Center, built in 1965, will be renovated, with nearly $9 million appropriated by Congress. The project is part of a nationwide effort to address the major maintenance backlog at national parks. The Visitor Center will be closed from September 28th through October 11th. At Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, the South Rim Visitor Center will be staffed through October 24th. The South Rim and North Rim campgrounds are still open, but water systems will be shut down for the winter, starting the week of October 5th. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
Two states in our region have some of the country's highest unemployment rates, including Nevada, which tops the nation. Bo Baker reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Nevada's unemployment rate sits at 13.2%, towering above most of its regional neighbors, except New Mexico, which ranks close behind with 11.3%. That's from the latest report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Although Nevada's unemployment has improved from a staggering 30% in April, it remains the highest in the country. Frederick Steinman is with the College of Business at the University of Nevada, Reno. He says all our region is vulnerable given its reliance on tourism and travel.
We still face the threat of continued spread of the virus, you know, an expansion of the pandemic. And if that happens, we kind of lose all the momentum we've gained in the last couple months, and we have to go back to square one.
Right now, though, the rest of our region sits below the national unemployment level. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Bo Baker.
August unemployment rates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics are 8.4% nationally and put Colorado at 6.7%. The presidential and vice presidential debates are becoming more than just a spectator sport as climate activists press for a spot in the national conversation. Eric Gladys has more.
As the nation grapples with massive wildfires, a hurricane season already on its second alphabet, and intensifying drought, conservationists are calling on moderators for tomorrow's first presidential debate to press candidates for their plans to address climate change. In 2016, just one question referenced climate change during a town hall event, and Colin O'Mara with the National Wildlife Federation says this year's moderators need to chart a different course.
To not have a question is just the height of irresponsibility. We think that every American has a right to know what the candidates' positions are on these incredibly important issues that are affecting, you know, millions of their neighbors across the country.
O'Mara and others want USA Today's Susan Page, C-SPAN's Steve Scully, Fox News' Chris Wallace, and NBC News' Kristen Welker to ask President Donald Trump and Vice President Joe Biden for their plans to reduce emissions in electricity generation, in the transportation sector, in agriculture, and restoring lands to capture and sequester more carbon. The world's top scientists have warned that less than a decade remains to sharply curtail fossil fuel emissions to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. I'm Eric Gladys.
Over the past two decades, most of Colorado's wildfires lit up in the months of June and July. This year, the state saw six fires spark in August, half of which set records in size. To learn more, KD&K's Kathleen Shannon spoke with the Colorado State climatologist and director of Colorado Climate Center at Colorado State University, Russ Schumacher.
It's a big question, but can we start hacking into why we saw so many August fires this year?
Right. Our sort of peak fire season normally, when over the last 20 years we've seen some of these really huge fires, is usually somewhere in June through early July, because that's the dry season in the mountains, essentially. That's when things really start to heat up and we don't get much precipitation. So that's when we've seen the really big ones, whereas, yeah, August is not the time that we normally see that, because we expect the North American monsoon to set in. And so the conditions would, in a normal year, be, you know, cloudier with periodic rain, and then that helps keep the temperature down. But we didn't see that this year at all. For Western Colorado, it was the hottest and driest August on record. The temperature was more than 2 degrees Fahrenheit above any other previous August that we had seen, and something like 6 degrees above the 20th century average. And so so that, you know, set up these conditions where we had been dry through June and July, but then the monsoon didn't set in. And so those dry conditions got even worse going into August. We had all these days of, you know, 100 degree temperatures and no clouds and no humidity and windy, which are just right for fires to grow like we saw.
And why no monsoon season this year?
We ended up with a really strong ridge of high pressure over the western United States, not just in Colorado, but across the West. And so when that happens, it basically, the air is sinking, it's dry, it's hot, you're not getting the surges of moisture in from the south, and thus no clouds and no storms. You know, we've had 3 years in a row now of bad monsoons in Western Colorado, and whether that is sort of a short-term thing that, you know, we just had bad luck, or the beginning of a longer trend, is hard to say, but it's certainly not a good thing when that happens, and definitely not when it happens multiple years in a row.
And looking into the rest of the year, does that indicate anything for snowfall, or is it too early to tell?
Well, we've just gone into La Nina conditions here, you know, over the last couple of months. And what that typically means for the winter is it tends to be snowier in the northern mountains and less snowy in the southern mountains, and similarly cooler north and warmer south with respect to average. The concern is especially in the southern mountains with water and so on, because we're going into it after sort of a bad year. If we have another bad snowpack year, you know, then a lot of other concerns start to crop up.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Thanks for listening.